are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And today I've got a returning guest who I'm delighted to have back on the programme. We have done much great work together. He is a fellow presenter, colleague of mine from Eurofolk Radio. His work has come on in leaps and bounds since he started broadcasting a few years ago. He is David James. I'm going to bring him up right now. David, are you with me?
I certainly am, Andy. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I mean, your radio shows, let's go through the shows first. You've got Saxon's Creed, which is your regular Sunday show. Then you've got Midweek News Report. And then you've got an occasional piece called News Bites, which, these are shows I always look out for. And you're a tremendous solo presenter. You generally do solo shows. And that's something that I've shared with the audience before that I really feel I would struggle to do, but you master it so well, and the product that you put out is very professional. You're also an accomplished musician with several albums to your credit. You have a website, davidjamesboston.com. And anything else you'd like to add to your bio for the audience, David?
Yes, I also do the one-to-one radio show, which is a two-hour show that's actually Eli's show. But I actually end up doing it about half the time. I did several shows on Germany with Michael Walsh on that thing. That's when I do, sometimes I do, I do like to interview people and this and that. But obviously right now with the internet that I have, it's a little, tough, let's say. Thank God you could call me on the phone. And I apologize that this... sometimes there's a delay in this phone, so if you think I'm interrupting you or something, it's just because it's not perfect, you know what I mean? It's not as good as probably most people that are in cities have. So it's not deliberately being done, just letting you know.
Thank you, David. Well, you sound fine. It's obviously the audio's not as good quality because you're also an audio engineer. You do work on mastering things, and so when your shows are on, the audio and your voice is absolutely perfect studio quality, and we're through a phone, but I can understand everything that you say, and you're coming through loud and clear. And the title of the show I actually got from a recent Saxon's Creed show that I was listening to, and I was so impressed with this quote, and it's a quote that David basically created himself. I was so impressed with it that when I was on with Dr. David Duke recently, I actually mentioned it on his show, and he was impressed also, as were the audience. He had a lot of good feedback, I was told, on that show. And you can take this in so many different directions, and you can read so many things into it, and that's why it's such a good quote. So I'm going to give you the quote now, and then I'm going to hand over to David to give us his interpretation of it. And this is what David came up with. The problem with the American dream is that you have to be asleep to enjoy it. David, your comments on that, please.
Okay, that's something I came up with before I was even a radio presenter. And I would say that experimentally to people. And they would, some people would call you a communist because they took it as an attack on America. This is not an attack on America, this quote. You see, the American dream, number one, should tell you that when you sleep, you dream, right? Now, men have dreams when they're awake, too. They dream of this and dream of that, but your true dreams are when you're asleep. And the American dream is virtually, it really is a lie. I'll tell you why I say that. The American dream is supposedly that a family would have two children, a house, and a couple of cars. And, what it comes down to is, in America, since we used to be sovereign citizens, which meant that you owned your land outright, there were no taxes on your land, and... if a sheriff or a cop came on your land, you could defend yourself with your gun. You were the king, the sovereign of your own land. This is why they vehemently abhor the sovereign citizen movement, which is happening in America. There are many people renouncing their citizenship because the citizenship took away our sovereignty. In other words, they deliberately broke the stock market in 29. It was a deliberate thing. Winston Churchill would have lost all of his money if Colonel Mandel House didn't rescue his money from the stock market crash. Winston would have been completely, who's a scumbag Jew. Don't excuse my language. He is. his mother was Jenny Jerome. And not a lot of people know that Winston Churchill was a Jew, and there's a lot to it. But getting back to the 29, people in America used to be sovereigns like that. And what happened since 29 is they needed to rely on governmental programs. And these programs, you know, were started in the FDR through his highly... he had a lot of Jews in his cabinet, let's just put it that way. That's what the New Deal is in America. See, the old deal was that you didn't have any federal taxes. You didn't have any taxes on your land. You didn't, there was lots of things like that. But then when people became so poor and lost everything, remember that when a stock market crashes, there's a transference of wealth. And in that 29 stock market, since it was planned by the Jews, many Jews came into the wealth from many Anglo-Saxon Americans. And so we were then asked to be citizens. See, if you wanted to be on welfare, or if you wanted to receive governmental benefits, or if you wanted to receive Social Security, which is another scam, you would become a citizen. It's one of the things when you go for a driver's license, they'll ask you, are you a citizen of the United States? And what they're asking you is, you're not a sovereign, right? So you're a citizen of the corporation of the United States, and you are beholden to the United States and their debt because you have had allowed yourself to become a citizen. So all these things like Social Security and so on and so forth, all these things are part of the New Deal, in a sense. Matter of fact, it was on Truman's desk that actually put taxes on your land so that meant, see, I am getting to the point now. I'm just going around the circle to make you understand that you don't own your own house in America. What they give you is not an allodial title. An allodial title meant that you owned that land outright forever, and you could give it to your family members. There were no taxes, nothing on that. You owned that land outright, lock, stock, and barrel. But now, when you buy a house in America, you get what's known as a sort of a tenant's title. It means it's about 99 years. And if you do not pay the taxes on your property, they can put your property up for auction for the amount of taxes due, which means you don't own your house. See, if you were awake and you knew that, you couldn't enjoy the fact that you had a house in America. I mean, you couldn't enjoy the American dream because it's a lie. You see what I mean, Andy? You got any comment about that?
Well, it's interesting because there's a lady who called into Dennis Fetcho's show a while ago, Lisa Marie, and she made a comment about how she got to know a Jewish guy, and, you know, he used to tell her things. And there was one thing, and she said it was obviously some sort of double dealing, something strange, but he watches for somewhere in the media where it's reported that someone's defaulted on their tax on their land, as you say, property tax. And from what you just said, that if you default and you can't pay it, then the house is auctioned simply just to pay off that. Then that could be quite a money-making scheme, couldn't it? Would you be able to be getting the property below market value? I mean, or could you see any way that money could be made out of that, or would it just go at the the highest bidder?
Of course, it will go to the highest bidder. It probably wouldn't sell for the amount of taxes. But if nobody bid on it and you just come up and said, okay, I'll give it to you, the tax money, and you could take the house. I'm sure that happened for a while until people got savvy to it. But you see what this Jew is a buzzard. It is scaling the sky, looking to swallow up anything that it can swallow up. You know, it's not like, the Jews own over half of the world's wealth. And they could solve the hunger problem. They could solve the debt problems with that. They're not about to solve any of those problems. They're the ones that created these problems. So they don't want to help humanity. And what they want to do is steal the other half of the wealth. And that's what they're doing through democracy. Democracy is what we learned on my show by reading Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is I was shocked because I found out that democracy was not for white people. It's for anybody but white people. It benefits the Jews. It benefits all the other races, the have-nots, as Saul Alinsky would call them. And we, as the Israelite nations, are the haves. So they've already stolen about a little over half the world's wealth, and then they institute democracy throughout that's their favorite form of government. It's the vilest form of government, according to President James Madison, as I've said over and over again. And democracy is a vehicle where you can divide the public against each other, and you can control both of the parties very easily. And the Hegelian dialectic is at work, as I always say in that, where the two parties are fighting each other, and eventually there's no difference between the two parties because there's a synthesis of the two opposing forces fighting each other. So democracy, through these governmental programs and through your American citizenship in the corporation of the United States, it's a vehicle to steal your money. Like taxing you is a vehicle to steal your money. And I keep saying that people keep talking around the world, and I'm trying to get this message out. They keep talking like our beloved democracy. The Jews are ruining our beloved democracy. The Jews are the ones that are promoting the democracy, you poor, ignorant soul. And the democracy is the very vehicle. You see that they steal our money through black budgets. They steal money through contracts. Like, for instance, in Iraq, Dick Cheney's Halliburton, they got the contract to build up buildings in Iraq after we destroyed them and brought them democracy. So you got to kill people to free them. You got to, ruin their children, ruin their farmland, destroy their trees, kill them to free them, supposedly. And so when they built up the buildings, they built up what is known as like mock buildings. The electricity didn't work inside, the plumbing didn't work inside, and the buildings were falling apart, yet they were brand new. So it was just they made their commitment and built some buildings, but they stole all that money. And that's what democracy does. That's what democracy is all about. The so-called Democrat Party, which is the Communist Party of the United States, according to Saul Alinsky, I believe it was, he said, we don't need a Communist Party in America. We have the Democrat Party. And don't get the idea I'm telling you the Republican Party is the good one. There is no good party there. They're just about the same party now. There's all sorts of conservative Jews in the Republican Party. There's no such thing as a conservative Jew, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be real. So these governmental programs are there to steal the money from the citizenry. Remember that places like even Iraq, believe it or not, you would get a share in the gross domestic product. If it's oil, you'd get a share in the oil. In America, we have a super high domestic product, gross domestic product, and my whole life, I should have been receiving a share in the gross domestic product as a so-called citizen of the United States. Notice how that doesn't even happen, Andy. There's no such thing as getting a share. See, if I got a share in that, I wouldn't have to work. You got any comment about that?
No, I agree. It's very true. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because you said, essentially, democracy is a vehicle whereby you can divide the people, and I would say subsequently control them. And if you look at something like National Socialist Germany, the people appeared to me to be united behind Hitler. And when you look at all the images of that time, of how happy people were, that's what you need. You need a good, strong leader that people can unite behind. And people may still have differences of opinion on certain matters. You might get some people that are religious or have faith, and some people still don't. And there'd be people that would disagree on all sorts of issues, but there needs to be a fundamental a constitution, if you like, a defined set of principles that no elected official, or elected leader rather, is allowed to tamper with. And for example, say the First Amendment right to free speech and the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, you know. Now, if we look at both of those, we're getting all these little conditions they keep tacking on. So say, for example, you'd know more about this being in the States, David, but there are certain states in America where you can do concealed carry, and there are certain states where you can't. And it's like, well, you've got the right to keep and bear arms. There's certain states that you can only keep this caliber and you can't keep that caliber. And so there's all these people that tinker with them. But what we need, and we don't even need to invent them because they're already in the Bible for us. You know, we've got all the 759 laws, statutes, ordinances and judgments for breaking those in the Bible. So there they are. And that's what I would go off. And anybody who tried to tamper with them would be guilty of treason against God's law, not man's law, God's law, and would be dealt with accordingly. What are your thoughts on that?
For sure. I will tell you my thoughts on that. Is yes, above all things, we have the inherent right to defend ourselves against any enemy. And so, and you have to have the means to defend yourself. And we have created... The white race created these guns, and that's what we use to defend ourselves. Number two, the world won't touch this. I've been talking about this for a long time. The world will not touch this. You'll never hear this in the mainstream media. Is the Dick Act of 1902 or 1903, the Dick Act. It was an act that was put in. It's also a militia act, and it says that the gun laws cannot be modified. So this is secondary to our inherent ability from Yahweh, and that we would be able to have our own weapons to defend ourselves. So it says that the gun laws cannot be modified, and that was put in stone. It wasn't changeable. It was put in the early 1900s there. And so they've ignored this Dick Act. So all these gun laws that you've seen put in since 1902, are null and void in reality. You see, there's a fellow that went to Washington, D.C., and he took them on about firearms. And the defender in the case that was defending the government came out and used the Wikipedia's definition of firearms. And the court threw it out because it's not the true definition of firearms. You see, people, this is what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, people are calling pistols and rifles firearms. They're not firearms. They're not in the definition of firearms. A pistol is not in the definition of firearms. So they're tricking you in the UK, they're tricking you all in Europe, and they're tricking America. They even want you to think a little pellet gun is a firearm, or if Nancy Pelosi, the sick-minded woman that she is, she'd have a squirt gun be a firearm. But this just isn't the way it is. So bringing this all together is what they do is they go out in mainstream media, and they go out even on the gun channels on YouTube, and they call pistols firearms, and they call rifles firearms. But they're not firearms, and they're not in the definition. And the guy won in Washington, D.C. So they're not going to tell you that in the mainstream media, but that is what the that those are the facts. So the American dream, again, of course, is to have your own firearms. So they're chipping away at the American dream. So if you were asleep, you wouldn't see them chipping away at the American dream, right? If you were realizing that you're paying, if you were awake, you'd know that you're paying way too much for gasoline, that it's all a scam that the Jews have put forth. They did the same thing in Germany. I always like to mention this to people, is that the Weimar Republic, coincidentally, was the first democracy in Germany. And if you know anything about the Weimar Republic, it was republic in name only, right? But it destroyed the German people. It destroyed their currency. It destroyed their morals. It destroyed everything. And so basically, democracy is the vehicle. Democracy, see, fear, the Jews use fear, and the world uses fear, and the money system, which is the central bank mechanism, which is the keystone of democracy. They use those two things to control the public. So when you look at, you'll realize that democracy is an enemy. Plato wrote Democracy, and when Plato wrote that, he believed that there should be no such thing as private property ownership. So what does that tell you about democracy, Andy? I mean, really, it's ridiculous. But if you're awake, you know that you owning your house is a lie. You know that having your children, that pretty soon they're going to turn against you because they're being indoctrinated in Marxist school systems, and that they're going to turn out, I mean, not definitely, but most likely they're going to turn out. I had a friend back in Boston who's had three children, and all three of them were godless. The school system did it to them. And that's the way they're doing on children. So you've got I've just blown your house thing out of the water. Yes, you have a place to live, but now you've got to pay taxes on it every year. You've got your children, but the government can take them away from you if they don't like what you're doing with your children. Number three, your two cars and the fuel to fuel those cars. Number one, you're paying a lot of usury, or for the house, right? If you're buying the house, you're paying five times. You're buying the house three to five times, Andy. Is that the kind of dream you have about, you see what I mean about the American dream? If you're asleep, you're just paying your bills, and you're happy, and your children are watching Talmud Vision, and they're having their lives, and you're having your lives. You're grilling on the grill, and you think America's a big party, and it's still a party like it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but the party's been over for 50 years. And, you know, then you're paying for gasoline. Gaddafi had those people paying 18 cents, I believe it was, a gallon, and that's what we should be paying here. America has the most oil in the whole world, and yet the Jew middleman has made sure, and the what do they call them, speculators, that's what I was talking about earlier, they speculate the prices up and falsely keep oil at these high prices when it's not a reality. If you're awake and you know that, you can't enjoy the American dream. Do you see how it translates? If you know that you're paying for three cars or two cars when, you know, because of the usury, and you know, instead of just paying for one, things start getting a little hairy, don't they? The dream starts losing its girth. Would you like to speak on that?
Well, it's funny. I mean, what I love about this this quote that you came up with is you could do a series of shows just on this quote and the implications of it and how it can be applied. Again, folks, it's the problem with the American dream is that you have to be asleep to enjoy it. And you just talked, something that you just said, I have only ever bought a new car once, and it was the cheapest car that this company made. They said to me, oh, can we do a finance package? And I said, no, I've actually saved up for it, so I'm going to buy it outright. And they said, oh, okay, we won't make any money on this one then. And they actually were making money. They made their money out of the finance on the car, on the vehicle. They didn't make money. I mean, obviously, if you go up through the ranges and you buy one of their mid-range or one of their top-range cars, they're going to be making on the car and on the finance. But when it came to, you know, their cheapest model, if you didn't go for the finance, the guy reckoned that they didn't actually make anything on it in the dealership.
Yeah, well, that's how it is in America now, too. They have to sell the cars. They're competing so much that they have to sell the cars at almost a loss. But they make up their money through the financing. You see what I mean, though? The dream is a lie. It's a non-reality. All it is a pipe dream. Of course, you can have the home and the two children and the two cars, but you have to be asleep to enjoy it. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, you have to not know. You have to be so non-red-pilled on it that you don't even know you're being tucked so badly. It's that bad. It's just a dream. See, if you had your own home and you had the allodial title and you bought your car outright and your children grew up to be good citizens and didn't have to go to Marxist colleges and be, you know, of course, you're being, when you send them to be indoctrinated, you see, they're not going to get the job in the Jewish company unless they have the indoctrination in from the Marxist teacher in college. And not only do they get the Marxist teacher to show you your children how to step, you know, toe the line, but they're going to financially fleece you at the same time. So it's another way to, like democracy is, another way to impoverish you as a family. Many of these students will start out in debt for 30 years of their lives. For what? So you can work at a Jewish company and be indoctrinated in Marxist teachings? Think about that, because that's the reality of the American dream. So in other words, there you have it. The only way you can enjoy the American dream is you have to be asleep. And that's what people do when they sleep, is they dream.
Yes. And, I mean, let's take a journey through Joe Sixpack's day. You know, we're talking a guy, he's got a mid-level job, he lives in a detached home, got a couple of kids, wife, he's relatively happy, he likes to, you know, have a beer on the weekend, watch the television in the evening, see the entertainment shows, and he thinks to himself, you know, it's the world's changing. My kids are being taught about transgenderism. We weren't when I was younger. I was taught scripture. But that's a good thing. It's progressive, you know. He believes that. And then if he gets sick, he says, well, at least we've got a great healthcare system, so I can go and get some medicine from the doctor, not knowing that it's all a bunch of poisons, but he's happy with that. Of course, we covered the television, and I can go and I can get some diet soda. Isn't that great? Because it'll mean I won't put on so much weight, not realizing that there's aspartame in it that's going to cause him all sorts of ailments. And it's all these different examples that you could give of someone who basically accepts what their government are telling them and what their media are telling them. And consequently, as you say, these people are asleep. And this is where you and I are so lucky, David, because there are people out there who produce very good research in the alternative media, people that I read and follow, but they're not Christians, they're not believers. Sometimes they're even atheists, they don't believe in anything. And when I look at that, I just think their life must be the American nightmare. not even close to the American dream, because they don't see how it can be changed. Because you must feel so powerless out there at the moment if you don't have the faith in your father Yahweh. Because it's even worse in the UK. I mean, if I tried to run for politics and said, you know, I want to stop immigration and talk about migration back, that would probably land me in jail. It'd be, oh, that's hate speech. And so what they're saying to you is that they've destroyed your political process so much that you can't, there are actually areas in politics that are ring fence that you can't discuss anymore because they're now hate speech. And so they're basically saying, you're never going to change your country back to your views. And then they ask for protection of everybody's views. That's what hate speech is about. But if I try and espouse my views, then I'm hate speech. So I'm not allowed to have views, and I'm not allowed to try and attempt to change the country politically. And so if I can't do that, there's only two ways that you're going to do that. That's violent revolution, and we don't have guns over here, so that's very unlikely. Or it's the Yahweh's return, Yeshua the Messiah. And that's what I believe is going to change the world back to how he wants it. And so that is what helps me get through this. Yeah, over to you, David. Your comments, please.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. I would want to say one more thing is, who gave you this American dream, number one? That's a good question. I know who gave it to you, the same people that want to make all the money off you. But it's also there to, because many, many people do not achieve the American dream. You have to realize that. See, the haves mostly achieve the American dream because the white people are the workers. We're the ones that build the roads. We're the ones that do all the stuff. They bring the parasites, the have-nots here, to parasite off us, and they keep telling them how they don't have what the haves have until the have-nots begin to hate the haves just because they have. You see? And it's a nice thing for them, for these Jews and their media, to turn the populace against the haves. See, there's so many intricate dots that are in all of this to connect. You see what I mean? This, who gave you the American dream? Who told you that that's what you wanted? Why wouldn't the American dream be that we have our own home and we have 10 children? Huh? They wanted to keep it to 2 children. See what I mean?
Yes, and they want to keep
what
it
if,
to...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they want to keep it to 2 children for white people, or preferably no children. You remember that famous, and was it Time magazine cover? The promoting a couple who, you know, chose not to have children, and they were, of course, a white couple. But we know that all these immigrants that they bring in, and I'd argue that they're invaders, they tend to procreate more than white people. It's just a fact. Just a complete fact, you know. Muslims aren't going to exercise birth control. I don't think they're even allowed to. We see the blacks, the more children that they have, the more welfare they get. And if they're, and that's not all blacks don't work, you know, but there's a significant amount I see in the area of London where I live. I'm constantly seeing black women with, you know, 4 or 5 children, one in a stroller, and the rest, you know, about a year older than each other. So she's like, you know, popping them out one after another. But I don't remember the last time I saw a white woman with 4 or 5 children with her. Don't remember it, David. And so they know exactly who's there.
That's the New Deal. You're talking the New Deal, Andrew. Pardon me. That's what the New Deal is. The New Deal is to destroy the haves and take away the rest of the world's wealth from the haves. They've already stolen over half of the world's wealth, and what they want to do is steal the other half. They don't want to give any of that back. That's ground that's been gained. They're not going to use that unless they want to use it as a tool against us to destroy us. But generally speaking, they'd rather just keep us paying for every link in our own chain with the remaining wealth in the world. And that's something to really think about. That's exactly what's going on. Now, speaking of London, one of the Jews, when you realize what the Jews do and how they got America to the condition they got it in, I'll give you an example of Harlem. And in Boston, it was the same thing there. I'm trying to think of the name of the area. But in Harlem was a strictly Jewish area. It was one of their ghettos. And, of course, the American people did not want to have Negroes living in their boroughs, in their neighborhoods. So the Jews brought those Negroes into Harlem. And once, of course, they don't want to live with them either, but this was the way they did it. They brought them into Harlem, and pretty soon most of the Jews moved out of Harlem and into other parts of New York, leaving that as now a black ghetto. That's exactly what they've done to London. I realized it because New York is, I was reading Edmondson's book, and he talked about how London and New York are really big Jewish centers. London was a very highly Jewish center, like Harlem was, and like many of the cities we talk about across America and probably in your own country. And so what they've done, what I just explained to you that was done to Harlem, has now been done to London, only with more races. Do you agree with that? Do you see what I'm saying? The Jews have kind of moved out for some part, and then mostly you have almost non-whites living there, correct?
Yes, absolutely, you do. And it is interesting the way that it works, because one thing that they must realize is that the best workers and what have you, and the people that built these cities like London and New York, are white men. But they seem to think now that they're in a position that they've almost exhausted everything that we've given them, and we're now in a position to be destroyed, and they're not going to need us anymore because they've gone forward technologically and stuff like that. But I don't see how a mongrelized population is going to be able to serve them as well as the white people. So I find it very strange how anyone without an understanding of the scripture telling you who the Jews are and who the white race are, I don't know how they could square that circle. We know why they want to destroy us, because it's a continuation of the hatred between, you know, Cain and Abel. It's just a continuation of that. But people outside of identity would not be aware of that. So I can imagine people scratching their heads and saying, well, what is the purpose? I mean, they've been in control for hundreds of years, and we've been serving them very well. So why are they now so blatantly trying to destroy us from a secular point of view?
I can explain it to you. See, if they could destroy all of white people is where the Holy Spirit lives in. White people are the competition. It is a competition, as Rockefeller had said, competition is a sin. They need to do, what they are doing is they are pretending that they're for equal rights and all that stuff. That's one of their gospels that they preach. They preach the gospel of the pig. They preach the gospel of feminism. They preach the gospel of materialism. I could go on all day, but they don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that Paul said, if anyone comes preaching a different gospel than the one that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Well, the Jews preach all sorts of gospels, but they're already accursed. They're an accursed people. And this is why I'm very upset about what Donald Trump did this guy in the UK, which I would like to mention, that they put away here for 13 months, is a Zionist. I have it on tape.
Tommy Robinson.
Yes, Tommy Robinson is a Zionist, and I've got it right on tape. And they asked him on tape, well, what is the definition of a Zionist? And he said a Zionist is somebody that believes that the Jews have a right to have their own homeland. Now, as you know, the Jews are the seed line of Cain, the Edomites, etc., etc. They have been cursed by Yahweh to be vagabonds and wanderers, and to never have a homeland of their own. Period. So a Zionist spits in the face of Yahweh and his judgment. They're also forbidden to farm, and the Jews conveniently just say that farming is the lowest thing you could be other than having a white woman having white children. So basically, they're an accursed people. So Donald Trump has just fulfilled the Zionist. You know how happy these Jews are right now of what Donald Trump just did? He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, Israel has been trying to become a nation state for 70 years now, and they're still not allowed to have their nation. They occupy a territory that they've stolen from the people in that area, in Palestine. They do not have a country of their own. They do not. They're illegitimate, as the guy from Iran has just said. They are illegitimate, period. They do not have a right to their own homeland, and Donald Trump has agreed with the Zionist thing in doing what he did. That's why I'm very upset about that, because he just went against the ever-living God's will. It's God's will that these people do not have their own homeland, and it's God's will, period. And they're not going to have their own homeland. So the Jews have been waiting. They tried to get Truman to agree that it was a state and he was going to do it. And at the last minute, he crossed something out from the sentence. Therefore, he, even though he was a Jew and a Freemason, he died a pauper. He never got his $2 million that they were bribing him with. And they've been waiting for somebody like Donald Trump to come along, and they're trying to get the world to do it through the UN, et cetera, to recognize that Israel, see, that's what the thing is, to be a Zionist means to recognize that the Jews have a right to have their own country when they do not have a right, according to the ever-living God, Yahweh. So they're going, what they're trying to do is the Jews are trying to get the whole world together on this theory that they have a right to have their own land. Over to you.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think it's a very interesting point that you raise, because I've had people on the show before and they've said, even consulted documents going back to the early 1920s when there were nationalists in the UK who were delighted about the Balfour Declaration, because they interpreted it that all the Jews in Britain would leave and go to live in Palestine. And of course they said, well, that's a good thing, that solves the problem, that's going to solve the animosity between the two groups, and we can start to get control of our country and what have you. And I've had guests on, you know, can't these people be isolated in their own territory so they can't parasite off other nations? And that's been something up for discussion, but to actually implement that, as you say, spits in the face of Yahweh, because he has dictated that these will be a vagabond people who will never have their own land, and they will travel from one land to another. And so that's a very important point I think you made there, David.
Well, guess what? Hitler was trying to give them their own homeland in Madagascar.
Yes.
And you see, let me explain to you really quickly. We must be running out of time. I don't know. You know better than I do. But you see, Ben Franklin spelled it out to you. See, if they really, really got their own place in, if they got the rest of the Palestinians genocided like they're trying to do to them and the white people, and they still wouldn't move there, they're still going to be the internationalists, because there's money to be made and there's control to be controlled, you know, there's people to be controlled. So Ben Franklin said that these are Asiatic vampires, and vampires cannot exist living off other vampires. They must subsist living off of Christian society, Franklin said. I love how they try to say that's a bunch of crap. And it just fits the bill. And, you know, I had gone through one show where we showed, where I showed, Edmondson had done it, had shown the, how all of this comes true. That they really do need to exist off. You know, I have already done the thing about B.F. Jackson where they have to race mix because they don't have the life force in their bone marrow. So they have to race mix with other people, Or it would be just like I said, if Hitler put them all on Madagascar and gave them, you know, surrounded them and made sure that they could stay there, within a few, maybe four or five generations, the race would stagger and die.
Yeah.
That would have been the best thing that could have ever happened. So that's why they will not go, even if they had the land of Israel, they will not all go to Israel and make the Aliyah, as they call it, because they have to subsist off us. They are literally vampires, for real. They do drink blood. Anyway, over to you.
Well, I mean, you know, there's all the stories of Jewish ritual murder documented by many people, including Arnold Leese, and they, I mean, it's horrific. We've got, you know, canonized saints in this country, like Saint Hugh and what have you, that was killed in this manner, and Jews were found guilty of it. They'll come out now and say that's anti-Semitism, but the courts found they had enough evidence then, so I know who I believe. And what you raised was an interesting point again, because, of course, we know what happened to Hitler and what continues to happen to Germany to this day. And did Hitler, I'm going to make a controversial statement here, and it's a question, not a statement, did he spit in the face of Yahweh because he agreed this transfer agreement to allow Jews to leave Germany and go to Palestine with all their property under the Havara Agreement, or also known as the Transfer Agreement? There's a famous book by Edwin Black that I don't understand why Ken Livingston didn't cite that when he was accused of anti-Semitism by bringing up the same point that I've just raised. Well, one of your Jews wrote this book. So I've got questions about that as well. The whole thing looks set up to me, smells very fishy. So on that, based on that supplementary information, do you think Hitler's loss in World War II could have anything to do with the fact that he was sending Jews to what was designed to, it, don't forget, it wasn't their own state then, but you could argue that it was their settlement over there, and it's pretty obvious what it was going to turn into.
Well, I mean, in one sense I would say That's a good question. In one sense, I would say, yes, it was helping the Zionists to accomplish things. On the other hand, Hitler wanted Jews out of Germany, period. So I think he might have looked at it, didn't look at it in that way, and looked at it more as, instead of, you know, even Netanyahu admitted that Hitler didn't try to kill all the Jews, believe it or not. He said, he talked about the fact that they sent them to Palestine. And, you know, basically, he did not, he protected the Jews. I will say this about, when the planes, when he brought them to a lot of these camps, it was actually a form of protecting the Jews from the real Holocausts that were taking place in Germany. And so, yes, he wanted to get them out of Germany. He didn't want any more Jews in Germany. And so I think that in one way, yes, it was a way of spitting in the face of Yahweh, but in another way it was, we got to get these Jews out of here. I don't care where they go, just get them out.
Yes, I think that's a good interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, he probably, you know, Hitler really, I don't know if he realized that they're not supposed to have a homeland of their own, but it really wasn't recognized as a homeland of their own. This is one of the reasons Hitler was financed, was to do something like that. It was probably part of the agreement. So if he had to get Germany healthy by sending some of these Jews out of there, I think he might agree to something like that, because he didn't have that kind of money. You know what I mean? So I don't know, it's just there's a lot of complications to it. You know, the whole reason Germany was attacked in World War I and World War II is because it was the last bastion, the last protection of Europe. The UK was already cucked out. It wasn't going to be able to protect Europe. Germany was a strong, 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 strong nation, a very manly nation, and it had to be subdued in order to have all of Europe be exposed to the Jews and to democracy and to the rebuilding of Europe. And when you have a war, you not only fund both sides, the Jews do, but there's a lot of destruction that happens so that there's rebuilding and land gets stolen dirt cheap and laws become changed because of the war. These are all the purposes of war. This is what 9/11 was all about in the first place. It was not only to put more laws on us like the Patriot Act, which really caused a lot of the freedoms to be decimated heavily over falsehoods, but laws were changed. Money couldn't be moved as easily anymore. Lots of things happened. Not only that, but democracy was brought to Iraq. You know, Churchill was paid by a Jew $2 million for beating the war drums of, you know, let's just how you hear McCain, get it, son of Cain? He's always talking bomb, 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 Iran. Well, somebody's paying him to do that exact same thing. That's exactly what Churchill did. And Churchill was doing this before he was the leader of the UK. And he was paid a lot of money to keep beating those war drums as a politician. So he was paid through this focus group in the UK from a Jewish Freemason. And we had learned that on the some of the shows we did. And so this is really what it's intense stuff. So history repeats itself. You've got McCain beating the war drums of Iran. And you see that they're trying to go to war with Iran again. Now, I found out Iran has a central bank, but they want the control of that oil. And on it goes. And you see that the same things, the same techniques are done over and over and over. So Churchill, since he obeyed them and did that, he ended up becoming the leader in the UK. And McCain ran for president. So it's like, you see what I mean? He never got to be the leader, but... See the parallel there. Nothing's changed, is what I'm saying.
I agree. And just to let you know, we've got about 3 minutes left. Is there any other information you'd like to get out there before we go?
Well, I'd like to tell you that my YouTube channel was just nixed, just like the EFR YouTube channel was nixed. And... YouTube says that it agrees with free speech, which is an absolute bold-faced lie. They say that they believe in the people's rights to different views, but they would not allow hate speech. But they never define what hate speech is. So anything could be determined as hate speech. So... what has happened, in my estimation, is some of the people that are our so-called brothers in identity, etc., have deliberately reported our channels, and when they reported them, of course, YouTube would listen to it and hear, all they got to do is hear the word Jew or anything, and boom, you've got strikes. I don't believe the Jews took down my channel. I believe it was our own so-called people. And so they do not believe in the rights of free speech and hate speech. You know, the biggest question that I would leave the audience with is, who gets to determine what hate speech is? That's all I have to say, Andy. Over to you.
Thank you, David.
Who gets to determine what hate speech is?
Well, one thing I'd say is that I read an article recently on the BBC, and they're actually going to legislate, and they're going to make it an offence to try and convert homosexuals into heterosexuals, to try and offer counselling to do that, because it's so hateful to do that. Now, of course, I think that we should be allowed to do that because of what Scripture says, and Scripture says it's an abomination, and so these people are going to get judged when their time comes. And I Yahweh has told us to wake our people up, to educate our people. So I would say that not being allowed to do that, or for me, a video promoting that lifestyle, I would see as hate speech. But it wouldn't be defined as hate speech. Whereas,
yes.
But it's the other way around. It's a video pointing out what Yahweh God says. That would be declared hate speech. And it just takes us all the way back to Jesus Christ time.
That's correct. You know that in reality, we don't have to convert homosexuals back to heterosexuals. The Bible just says, if a man lays with another man, you kill him. So there's no need to try to convert somebody from... Now, am I saying that you should go out and kill homosexuals? Well, today, we got to be at the end. Today, the white man is here to tend the garden, and there are so many laws in place that will not allow us to tend the garden. We must leave these evils in our society by law. That's all I have to tell you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me again, David. Wonderful program. The website, folks, davidjamesboston.com. There'll be a link to that in the post for this show. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.
You have been listening to The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.